Welcome to Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where we explore the rich history of the Star Wars universe. Sometimes, the idiots struggle with basic communication skills, as shown by their spending an entire day responding to R2-D2's beeps with, "Am not!" Ranger, you know what to do.
And hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of RSG Does Star Wars Lore with Idiots. I'm your host, Ranger J 1999, a broken and bitter man, as I have to spend another day with these three potato heads trying to teach them Star Wars lore, and it usually goes really, really not good. Glad to have you guys here. We'll introduce everybody here in a second. Just want to make a couple announcements. If you like the lore series, it is out on podcast form. We have it as a playlist on YouTube, so you're more than welcome to check it out when it comes out there. But we do have it in podcast form. You can download it on Amazon and Podbean. One day we'll get Spotify, but that day is not today because I can't figure out why I keep submitting and it doesn't create the page. So it's been a nightmare. So eventually we'll get it on Spotify. So you can download and listen to it whenever you like. So, and that's all thanks to you guys and all your support with Patreon. If you are watching this and you'd like to support the content, become a patron. $5 or more not only gives you VIP access in our Discord and gives us access to us and our other games that we play. We do play other games and have a lot of fun, but it also supports the channel and allows us to do things like create podcasts for you guys. So that being said, let's introduce the idiots. Celebrating 3 years of streaming and me ended up having to do 20 shoeies that day is RamBam001's here.
What's going on?
Kiss my ass.
No, you liked it.
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't because you Ram did a 24-hour stream, and when it came and at the end of his, you know, we had an hour to
wait. You did what, 8 shoeies?
Yeah, 8 on yours, and then I ended up doing like 12 more. I set the record, so I'm not, instead of 19 is now 20 because Heinze was broken that night. So, oh, so bad. Someone who likes to contribute to my shoeie problem is the great Welling Cannoneer himself, Karthrix over there.
I mean, contribute heavily.
Not like incite. Some of the other folks, but you do like to incite and get things. You know,
keep things I do. Rolling. I do like to kick the hornet's nest there and watch the shit show flow.
Yeah,
it's a good time for me.
Good time. And last but not least, my co-host of RSG Reviews and other things, we've got Big K Cashmere's here with us as well. Hey.
I don't like to make you drink.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Don't lie. I mean, just better things than Foster's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. See, if I could just do bourbon shoeies or something else, it wouldn't be that bad.
You'd
right?
be so hosed, dude. Ooh, well, think about doing 20 really. Bourbon shoeies.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad, but it's just the Foster's is so nasty. I can't stand it. It's like drinking just gasoline.
I couldn't imagine drinking that much bourbon and not being just absolutely
asshole. Once you do it a few times, you're fine. Speaking of
also
bourbon,
not from a shoe.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. See, that's an Australian thing that Heinze got us, you know, once we became co-hosts of his stream. It was downhill from there because we ended up having to do shoeies and people saw how much we hated them and they, more than him, like to see me especially suffer. Ram too, but Ram finds ways to wiggle out of it. And he didn't have to do the worm this past weekend either. Again, I had to do the worm properly as Heinze did.
Oh, I told y'all I owe y'all.
Yes, but I'm just saying the actual doing of the worm itself is not something.
I owe y'all 2 shoeies and a worm.
Yeah, there's a lot of plumber cracks seen on Heinze that day. That being said, let's get to what we're drinking. Hey, you've always got something very smooth, elegant. What are you drinking today, my friend?
We have a little Heaven's Door.
Oh, Heaven's Door. Very nice. I am just drinking some Jim Beam and Dr. Pepper because I don't care. I just want something that's going to get the hair in my chest raising a little bit. Rambam, what are you partaking in today?
I am very boring. I got to actually go out in a bit, so I am drinking Dr. Pepper.
That's okay. Sometimes you're being responsible. See, that's what you should do. If you have to do something, you'd be responsible. I can respect that. And then last but not least, what fell in your coffee this morning?
I'm over here double fisting between a glass of water and a cup of coffee.
Oh. Anything in said water and or coffee?
No, I have to go do yard work after this, so I have to somewhat keep it professional.
Yeah, you don't want to...
No. Yeah. No, I'm not going to be.
Hey, Carl, is there a reason why you went in a circle pattern and different directions on your yard there? just seemed pretty. Oh, no. Just
driving around all the turds.
Yeah. He keeps mowing the same piece of grass. I don't understand it.
Just out
back
there
and forth over one line.
This was faster.
He's doing the worm while he's mowing. Just going in.
He's posing on the tractor, you know, lawnmower. As he's like, yeah. Trying to do wheelies.
There you go.
All right. All right. It's that time of the stream, podcast, when you know, video, where I let these guys try to guess what the topic is. It is usually horrible guesses. I don't foresee this changing in any way, but it is tradition here on Star Wars Lore with Idiots that we get these dumbasses to take guesses of what it's going to be. So we'll start with you, Karth. What do you think today's topic's going to be?
Oh, I'm going to use my screensaver as an inspiration. Oh, okay. I'm going to go with the origins of the Republic Commando units.
I mean, wrong, but I kind of like the topic, you know. I'm impressed. It wasn't something mentally damaged. I'm shocked right now. I mean, color me shocked.
I'm going to ease you into the stupidity today.
Well, yes, because we're going to go to Kay next. Kay, what's your ridiculous dumb answer? What do you think? I mean, I know you're not going to give me a legitimate guess, so what's the guess that you're going to give me on what the topic today is going to be? That would be for you, Kay.
Sorry. Well,
what is K?
I think going off of last week and how much Ram frustrates you with always saying that the Jedi are boring and how much better the Sith are, I think we're going to go over the fun times about the Jedi, like the Jedi orgies, the Jedi parties.
The coke-induced Jedi parties is what you're trying to get to, so we're going to be covering. Little Charlie Murphy action with the Jedi is what you're trying to imply here.
No, yeah, I mean, it's a short chapter. There's no page, isn't it?
Yeah. Cam's exploits.
Oh, that's actually fairly interesting, that's to be honest, but that is true.
So then Yoda came up to me and said, "Look, bitch, I'm Rick James." And smacked him. All right. No, that's wrong. Shame on you. Ram, guess. Let me hear it. Nothing Mace, even remotely, even the realm, universe, anything, not even close, real life or otherwise.
I never mentioned that. What are you talking about?
Other podcast. No, you're right, Ram. Shut up and just give me your.
No, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, just like Cashmere said, I do think that we're going to keep it on the topic of the Jedi. But I'd like to see, you know, I think we're going to cover the significance and the importance of like the seating arrangement in the Jedi Council and like why people sit next to each other and you know, like who the second person sits next to Yoda and like why they get on the left and not the right side. And, you know, is it like to jerk people off or is it to, you know, train people better? Like, I mean, I don't know.
That's wrong, but, you know, nice try. No, that is all wrong. I will now bring the actual subject for today's topic up. Yeah, I'm afraid that all you guys are wrong, but I am going to give you a quote. I don't think any of you guys are, I'm pretty positive none of you guys are going to get it because it's a simple quote. Well, I mean, it's related to the topic for today, but
hey, I'm a simple guy.
Well, maybe you will get it. I don't know. You know, you've already shocked me once today, Karth, but can you shock me with the right answer? Shit, we're about to find out. So I'm just going to read it, and if anybody wants to pipe in and say what they think it is, then go for it. The quote is, "In my life, when you find people who need your help, you help them, no matter what." I can just see the melting of brain cells. Read that. It's actually a pretty famous quote. Recent lore. I'll give you a hint.
Lore. Would this be a certain non-Jedi Jedi?
Could be right there, Karth.
Does she have certain attributes?
Yes.
Does she have different colored sabers throughout the series?
Yes.
Does she have, like...
Just say the damn answer. You know what it is.
Is it Ahsoka?
It's Ahsoka, our first time ever. Karth got it. Ram and Kay had no idea.
Oh no, I knew it.
No, you didn't.
He was letting me flounder.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Probably thought it was Mace.
Yeah. We know Mace would never say anything like that.
Take a seat.
Yeah, take a seat, citizen. Yeah. Sorry, citizen. Dip? It's the Jedi that. Business.
Yeah. Become where they smack you. Rick James style. No, we are covering Ahsoka today. I figured, you know, we've got through a lot of the big stuff. We've covered a lot of the big factions and some major history. And some key characters already. But now we can start getting into, you know, characters and skip through just their general stuff. When I do this, pull this from Wikipedia and the books behind me and just main source, but it's mainly Wikipedia. So if you want to get more, because I'm not going to get into minutiae detail, you can go to Wikipedia. I highly recommend it, and you get all the details. But if you really, this is the source I pull from. A lot of times I'm just reading from it because the people do a pretty good job on Wikipedia. And there, or I'll pull from the Jedi versus Sith book, like when I've done some of my other stuff for, you know, Force powers, things of that nature, or from the actual books themselves for certain things that happen, legends or canon. And this is the first character that we're covering today that is pure canon. There is no legends, anything related to Ahsoka Tano, and she is the topic for discussion today. And I'm pretty sure most of you are familiar with Ahsoka, some more familiar with her because you've seen more of the shows or read the books or anything like that. There's been all kinds of stuff with Ahsoka, and we're going to get into her origins of the actual character creation and her journey as well. But I think everybody here, I think nod of heads, we're pretty familiar with Ahsoka, some more familiar with it than others, I would say.
Oh yeah.
In her nickname, Citizen Tano.
That's one of them, actually. That's not Snips. Wrong. Yeah. Snips is one. Yeah. Snippy snippy.
Commander Tano.
Yeah.
She can snip me any day.
And she's
General, Commander. Fulcrum.
Yeah, she's had many names.
Other things. I'm trying to remember some of them.
Sexy.
That's going back to my topic, that Ranger.
Rule 34 is about to break loose, boys.
Yeah. Well, that's why she was kicked out of the Jedi Order. They're kicked. She didn't want to participate. So, 1 out of 10, how would you say your knowledge of Ahsoka is there, Kay?
I'm pretty high on Ms. Tana.
5 out of 10.
Well, I'm an idiot, so we'll have to say just a 7, 8.
7, 8's still pretty high. Still pretty high. You want me to do a quiz and see if you know your stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know if you're ready for that.
Other than having everything in front of me right now, right? I've been reading through everything. You're right.
No, for my answers.
Oh, well, no, yeah. I'm never ready for that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm just going to put an F on the paper.
Which side of the coin are we talking about?
What the hell are you talking? The hell are you talking about, boy? Ram, I'm pretty sure you're intimately familiar with Ahsoka Tano. I mean, what would you rate it out of 10?
Oh, I am very intimately familiar with every single crevice and crook and cranny on Rosario Dawson. I mean, Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
Now we know he's lying.
He rates it 2 busted nuts. Yes.
That's a solid 2 busted nuts for me.
You know that all that Bram just said is nice. And then last but not least, Karth.
I mean, I'm fairly well versed on it. I've watched every medium she's ever been a part of, so I mean, all the probably like the book stuff I may not be as familiar on, so I would probably be cash for like a 7 or something. Yes. I know a lot of the main stuff, but she hasn't appeared too much outside of just the
couple
the live
books
action
things in that thing. Yeah, cartoons. She had that one book that was dedicated to her here recently.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one like how she gets out of everything?
Yeah. And they kind of covered it a little bit with Tales of the Jedi, some of that aspect.
Yeah.
And in Tales of the Jedi, if you've not seen it, it does show how she was found by the Jedi and stuff like that, and also shows her coming into back after Order 66 related to the book and how she becomes, you know, becomes the fulcrum, you know, for Senator Bail Organa. And we're going to cover some of that information today. So I'm going to treat this one a little differently. I'm not going to open it to any questions. I'm just going to read. If you guys have a thing you want to just pipe in, you know, just pipe in anytime, make a comment, that kind of stuff, because not a lot of questions need to be asked on this one, unlike some of the other characters that are not as well known that we've covered, like Sarkoon or you know, some of the other characters that we've gotten into, like the Celestials or the history of the Mandalorians, things of that nature. So let's dive into Ahsoka Tano. So as you know, Ahsoka Tano is a Force-sensitive Togruta female former Jedi Padawan who, after the Clone Wars, helped establish a network of various rebel cells against the Galactic Empire. She was discovered on her homeworld of, and I always say this wrong, it's a Shili, by Jedi Master Plo Koon, who brought her to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant to receive her Jedi training. And that's pretty much all we see in Tales of the Jedi, and we know that she, you know, where this leads to. But following the outbreak of the Clone Wars, Jedi Grandmaster Yoda assigned the young Tano to be the Padawan learner of Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker, who nicknamed her Snips. That's where the nickname Snips comes from, when she joined him at the Battle of Kristoff. Tano was eager to prove herself, while Skywalker had a reputation for being reckless, and they had a rather difficult start as master and apprentice. Yet they worked together to rescue Rota, the son of Prime Lord Jabba Tyr, who returned Rota to his father, thus facilitating a crucial alliance between the Hutt clan and the Galactic Republic. And this is all the movie. People try to forget about the movie, but it is canon, and it does
exist. I love that movie. That movie
I thought it wasn't bad. There were some really good fight scenes in that.
You need to just go to your 12-year-old self when you watch that movie, because that's what the original Clone Wars series was designed to watch for. And your inner 12-year-old will just laugh maniacally at all the bull stuff that they've got in that. I actually liked it. I watched it in theaters, being one of the only 20-something-year-old people in the theater with a bunch of parents and their kids, and I was laughing the entire time. I loved it.
It was good. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was decent. Now, before I start continuing on with their history, we're gonna get into this. This is when Snips was first introduced. He was hated. That character was hated.
So hated.
She was like, the fans rejected her. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm going to cover Ashley Eckstein and her thoughts on Ahsoka, and we're going to cover some of the other stuff about Ahsoka, of her where her media sources and things have come from. If you were watching last Star Wars Celebration, they had Ahsoka Tano Day there, and you saw all these young girls and women that were dressed up as Ahsoka Tano, and you just see Ashley Eckstein, she's a pretty sensitive person, which I love about Ashley, is that, you know, she, you know, since she saw that, she was just in tears, right? Because the character means so much to her, and, you know, the reaction, it's cool to see that a character that was so vilified, and her so vilified, and all she was doing is just doing the voice, to come full circle to be one of the most, I would say one of the most popular character, in Star Wars. I don't know how you guys feel, but I mean, she is everywhere. And with the new series, I mean, she's so popular, she's getting her own series, live action. That's how incredibly popular.
A lot of that comes from the drive of Dave Filoni.
Yes.
And him heading a lot of things. He's bringing the character through, and him actually petitioning with Lucas to not, because Lucas wanted Snips dead by the end of Clone Wars. That was his original plan. And Filoni got an exit ramp for the character and took it, and then was able to write it where she survived everything. Yeah. But I mean, the first iteration of Snips, especially through like the Clone Wars series and everything else, I do understand a lot of why people hated her, because she kind of started out very Mary Sue-ish, you know, just like good at everything, dominating the stuff. Which, you know, you kind of feel weird for a Padawan to be so strong doing, because you're kind of a little bit more like, you seem really young to be this badass. And I think they kind of over-delivered out the gate, but I think throughout
they
the writing
they course-corrected because there were some times where she did not.
They had to course-correct her, and she made mistakes, and she suffered the consequences of those mistakes. And I think that was a good thing that they did in the writing style, but that's also one of the advantages of having a much longer, drawn-out series like the Clone Wars to introduce characters like this for, because you get a lot more opportunity for character development versus, like, the trilogy, like, well, any other medium. When you're looking at a movie, you get 90 to maybe, you know, 120 minutes to deal with the character, and you got to sell that they are what they are, or the fans just tear it apart. So I think, yeah, it was very good that it's come back around. I mean, we see the same thing with Hayden Christensen's now. that people are loving him as Anakin and Vader, and that, yes, that he's coming full circle. I mean, he was at Star Wars Celebration this year.
He
broke down just crying on stage because, you know, everyone's chanting for him and everything else. And it's just like, it's just such a weird dynamic, because back when he was, you know, episode two, everyone hated him.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but don't hate the actor. Hate the writer. Like, you know,
the writing was horrible.
You've seen the memes, right? The dialogue they kept, the dialogue they cut. You're like, really?
So let's dive in a little bit more. We'll continue on here. So as a commander in the Grand Army of the Republic, she found a mentor in clone Captain Rex, and we know about their relationship. It's a lifelong friendship of the 501st Legion, with whom she and Skywalker collaborated to lead frontline campaigns against the Confederacy of Independent Systems. In her first command position at the Battle of Ryloth, Tano disobeyed orders and lost her entire squadron of pilots, but she rebounded and helped secure victory in Ryloth. Her assignments pitted her against a variety of opponents, from General Grievous and Sith Apprentice Asajj Ventress to bounty hunters such as Cad Bane and Orc Thing. Over time, she matured into a respected leader, contributing to key Republic victories like the Second Battle of Geonosis and the Battle of Mon Cala. She even died during a series of events on Mortis, but the daughter, a Force wielder who personified the light side, sacrificed herself to bring Tano back to life. And if you notice in the series, the owl that follows her around is the daughter. And I love that they've kept that, you know, in the background every time you see her. There's that little owl flying around, you know, with Ahsoka. So really cool stuff. But yeah, big. Then this is mainly covering the Clone Wars stuff. So she gained a lot of experience on and beyond the war front, leading a group of young Jedi younglings to revolt against their Trandoshan captors. There's a whole episode or two, I think, where she gets captured and they're hunted by Trandoshans. She
it's,
helped rescue.
It's a it's yeah, an right? art. Well, no, that the, those are two different stories. So the Trandoshan one is not with the younglings. She gets captured on.
There were a bunch of other younglings, and they had to fight through the forest.
No, they are there. Yeah. There's two different. Yeah. There's two different missions.
There's another one too.
Yeah. There's one where they go to Ilum with younglings, and they get captured by pirates, and then there's another one where she gets captured on Felucia by the Trandoshans while they're assaulting a base, and then she gets dropped off on an island with other younglings that have been captured. So sorry.
Some rather exploit. No, it's cool. Interrupt. She also helped rescue the colony of Togruta from a slave by the Zangarian slave empire. She served as an advisor to the Onderon rebels, with her closest friend Lux Bonteri, who was among them, and as they liberated their world from the Confederacy. As the war progressed, we get to the later half of the war. In a stark turn of events, she was framed for the bombing of the Jedi Temple hangar. Another homicide, and she escaped into the Coruscant underworld to clear her name. Though she formed an unlikely alliance with, again, one of her former adversaries, Asajj Ventress, she was detained by Republic forces and was consequently barred from the Jedi Order. Ultimately, though, Skywalker uncovered the true culprit, Tano's friend and fellow Padawan Barriss Offee. If you've not seen that great fight scene between Barriss and Anakin, you should watch it. And prevented his former apprentice from being convicted of sedition. Nevertheless, this ordeal dislodged Tano's faith in the Jedi. She refused the Jedi High Council's offer to rejoin the Order, instead departing in search of a new path and becoming a Force-sensitive outcast. She briefly returned to lead the new Republic forces during the Siege of Mandalore and faced Maul and his forces. Although Order 66 was enacted shortly after the Sith Lord's capture and Tano, after freeing Rex from the control of Order 66, the two of them escaping the rest of the 501st Division, faking her death, she was forced to hiding. And this is all Clone Wars stuff, season 6 and 7. And if you've not watched those later seasons, Clone Wars, you're missing out on a lot. I mean, I think everybody here has seen it, right? I mean, I'm not talking
about some of the it's some of their best writing and
action. I mean, the fight scene between Maul and Ahsoka is one of the best lightsaber fights ever. Man, that shit was.
And narratively, it has some of the best revelations. Yes. It has some of the best things that you questioned a lot throughout the original trilogy. Is like, how did characters not know about this if these characters were present? And so they do such a great job, kind of like letting the character find out, but then hemming them away from being able to do anything with the information. So it's kind of interesting how a lot of things could have just changed if certain things were different. So it's very interesting. I like how they did
it. The conversation between Ahsoka and Maul is fascinating. It is truly fascinating because Ahsoka agrees to help Maul, but it's when he mentions Anakin Skywalker and her loyalty to him, like, you know, no, that leads to them fighting, you know, and her, you know, and just having faith in him. She never stops having faith in him. Get into that as well, and they're in a bit. But Graham, you're looking a little wide-eyed and misty over there. What's going on with you, buddy? Any points of anything? Just sit back and enjoy Dr. Pepper.
Sit back and enjoy. She's okay. I love Ahsoka. I'm trying to not jack off too hard.
All right, not screenplays, and then this becomes bad. So after the Galactic Empire came to power, Tana went into hiding on Tabesca, and Rada disguises Ashla. Following the evacuation of Rada, Tana joined Senator Bail Organa's growing rebel movement. We see that in Tales of the Jedi. She became the manager of his intelligence network and adopted the codename Fulcrum. So this is where she got Fulcrum from. Fulcrum, she provided intelligence to various rebel factions, including Harrison Dula's Spectre's rebel cell. She took a particular interest in Sidella's rebels because of one of their members, a Jedi named Kanan Jarrus, and began to train his own Padawan Ezra Bridger. In addition, Tano's efforts against the Empire brought her into contact with the Dark Lord Darth Vader, who, unknown to her, was actually her former master Anakin Skywalker, as well as the Imperial Inquisitors known as the Fifth Brother and the Seventh Sister, but it also gave her the chance to reunite with Rex. Following the mission to Malachor, which you see, which is season 2, the end of season 2, one of those, Tana became lost to the rubble and shadows of the Sith Temple and was believed by many, including Kanan and Ezra, to have perished during a duel with Darth Vader. And if you've not seen that lightsaber fight, holy God, that's one of the, again, top tier, I mean, fights, you know, and some of the best one-liners ever, you know. Anakin Skywalker was weak. I destroyed him. And then Ahsoka says, then I will avenge his death. Revenge is not the Jedi way. I'm no Jedi. And she just starts running at him. It's like so badass. And then the moments where she cuts his mask off. I mean, my God, how more powerful can that scene be than that? So, and we'll get into that here more when we get into their relationship. Any thoughts so far? No? Okay, we'll move on. Okay, Tana was unexpectedly saved from Vader's wrath by a future Ezra Bridger, who pulled her through a portal in the world between worlds, a mystical plane of force connecting all time and space, created by the Celestials. We covered that before. After a confrontation with Darth Idiot, who desired access to the dimension, she returned to her time, promised Bridger that she would find him once she returned. After the end of the Galactic Civil War, Tana returned to a free Lothal and joined Sabine in her quest to find a missing Bridger, who had disappeared during the liberation of Lothal. We know what happened with that. And Tana later journeyed to the city of Caladon on the forest planet Corvus, looking for information on the location of Grand Admiral Thrawn, who had disappeared alongside Bridger, her magistrate Morgan Elspeth. Needing to rescue the city from Restless Rule, she allied herself with the Mandalorian Din Djarin, who had been on a quest to bring force into young Grogu to the Jedi. After freeing Caladon, she refused to train Grogu and directed Jin to the planet Tython instead. She later visited Luke Skywalker at his new Jedi Temple, when Skywalker found Grogu in his care following a summons from the Seething Stone overseeing his training of the child temporarily. And this is all season 2 of The Mandalorian, and also the short little arc in Book of Boba Fett that we see all this transpire. And then, decades after Tana began her search, her voice joined a multitude of Jedi spirits to guide the young Jedi Rey during the final battle of the First Order Resistance War, and inspired Rey to stand up to a resurrected Darth Sidious and destroy him once. So that's pretty much a quick general overview of some of the main.
Do we have to talk about the sequels?
Whether you like it or not, Ram, it doesn't matter. It's what it is, you know. Until it changes.
They're not going to with the new movie getting announced. They're not going to change it. So
it's canon. And you can see that in
gag
where we're at with Mandalorian season 3 and what we should expect from them.
Yeah.
There's already hints of the First Order. So
Oh yeah, but I mean, they can make that better by improving the information around it. However, they want to go around it, and I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Whatever. You can make a story better by writing a better beginning and end.
Yeah. So,
just suffer through the interim.
So let's talk about the biggest thing that's one of the reasons why she's such a fan favorite, and that's her relationship with her master, Anakin Skywalker. And I'll give you a quote from Anakin. He says, "Thanks for the support, as always." And then Ahsoka looks at him and says, "Well, that's what friends are for." Now, Tano's relationship with her master was tenuous to start. We talked about that. Skywalker had maintained that he would never take on a Padawan learner for the fear that he would be slowed down. So he was originally strongly opposed to Master Yoda's assigning of Ahsoka to him. She was offended by this and deeply hurt, but she was eager to prove herself and to her new teacher. Her enthusiasm often came at odds with her brash nature, a trait shared by Skywalker himself. In fact, in part due to her youthful impulsiveness and bravery, she was the perfect Padawan for Skywalker. The two would often butt heads, each believing that they knew better than the other one. During their first mission together at the Battle of Christophis, they developed demeaning nicknames for each other. Tano gave her master the title Sky Guy.
Sky Guy.
While Skywalker returned the favor with the name Snips, referring to Tano's snippy wit. Tano used the nickname Sky Guy only because it annoyed Skywalker, although as the war progressed, these nicknames would remain, but changing into more playful terms of endearment and friendship. For all their bickering, the two developed a close relationship during the Clone Wars. Skywalker reassured his Padawan that their meeting was no accident and that it was the will of the Force for her to train under him. Their rapport made its way into the battlefield, with the duo competing to see who could destroy the most droids in the Second Battle of Geonosis. Master and apprentice grew increasingly reliant on each other throughout the war, taking turns rescuing each other from the Separatist forces and bounty hunters. After situations where she was nearly killed, she found that she could talk to her mentor to come to terms with it. Her naive outlook balanced Skywalker's cynical approach. During her time in Mortis, Tano was killed by the Sun and only resurrected after Skywalker pleaded with the Father to help save her. Later, after being captured by Trandoshan hunters, Tano credited her master's teaching as one thing that allowed her to survive. And so that's kind of some of the stuff we get with their dynamic all the way through. Through the beginning stages and through the Clone Wars, you can see the relationship. It's a very brother sister kind of relationship. Although it kind of turned into kind of a much later at the end, more like a father daughter kind of relationship, as well, as their relationship grew, but you can tell that these two were really close. And they worked, they synced well together. Let's see here. Skywalker grew protective of his Padawan, which Tano viewed as a lack of trust in her abilities. During the mission of Lola Sayu, she directly disobeyed Skywalker and joined his team, believing she would be the one to decide when to put her life in danger. Master. Later, when she went on the run after being accused of murder, she realized that Skywalker was the only person who would believe in her innocence and begged him to trust that she was the right decision. Ultimately, however, she left the Jedi Order, knowing that she had to discover more about herself without the help of her master. Skywalker confessed to his Padawan that he too understood the desire to leave the Order, and Tano, who had become aware of the connection between the master and Senator Amidala, but never pushed the issue, assured him that she, during her time away from the Order, she held her master in high respect, regarded him as her own brother, and later as a father figure. The lessons she learned from him stayed with her in her exile. When asked by Trace Martez what she had learned where she had learned to fly, she credited her skills to Skywalker Academy. Even still, when she was approached by the Night Owls to join in their fight against Maul, Tano feared that she would become closer to the life and master she left behind, but knew that she must go with them to help others. As she came face to face with Skywalker prior to the Siege of Mandalore, she did not indulge in any emotional reunion and focused her attention on convincing the Jedi to assist the Mandalorians. In their final meeting as friends, Skywalker gifted Tano with her old lightsabers, now shining with blue blaze, just as his own did. Before Skywalker left, Tano allowed her emotions to be shown, thanking him for his help and wished him luck. Now, this leads to, again, the Siege of Mandalore. During the Siege of Mandalore, Tana learned from Maul that Skywalker had been groomed for years to become the apprentice of Darth Sidious. But she refused to trust the Zabrak, defiantly believing that she knew her master better. After Maul's capture, Tano attempted to speak to Skywalker, but was unable to make contact with him. Later, she was able to feel his fall to the dark side through the Force, hearing him calling in anguish after attacking Mace Windu. She had no time to process these events before the execution of Order 66, forcing her to go into hiding. Although she did not know the fate of her master, she remembered him fondly, never forgetting the compassion and kindness Anakin offered to the galaxy. During her time with the Phoenix Squad, the Spectres, Tano was stationed aboard the Phoenix Home when the Rebel fleet was attacked by the Sith Lord Darth Vader. During the battle, this is when she sensed the anger and hatred emanating from the Darksider, and she was met with the realization that the individual behind Vader's mask was indeed Skywalker. The incongruity of the two men being the same caused Tano to lose consciousness. In the aftermath of the discovery, she struggled to accept the truth. Although she maintained that she was unaware of the Sith Lord identity, she secretly harbored feelings of grief and guilt, haunted by the idea that she could have helped her master in his time of need. During the admission to the Jedi Temple in the fall, she was confronted by a vision of Skywalker that preyed upon these fears, blaming her for allowing Darth Vader to rise. She fought back against these visions, believing that there was still a way to reach. And then we get to Malachor. Finally coming face to face with her former master once again on Malachor, Tano refused to believe that he and Vader were the same person. He was unable to reconcile the Sith Lord's vile nature with the kindness that he once knew. Although it pained her, Tano viewed Vader as a murderer of Anakin Skywalker and vowed to avenge her master's death, going against the Jedi teaching she had learned as a child. She bowed to him atop the Sith Temple, defending the Padawan Ezra Bridger. As the temple began to collapse, she damaged Vader's mask, revealing the scorched face of Skywalker. The sight of her master forced her to pause. Feeling the guilt from leaving him years ago, she refused to leave Vader and continued to duel as her other friends escaped. Before the debris of the ceiling could crush them both, she destroyed the floor beneath him, causing Vader to fall. And then that's when Ezra in the thing grabs her and pulls her out. And then in 4 ABY, Anakin returned to the light side of the Force and sacrificed his own life to defeat Darth Sidious at the Battle of Endor. Following her master's death, Tano reflected on the impact of Anakin's decisions on the galaxy. Despite his flaws, she remembered him as the best of us, a good man who fell victim to his own fear. All right, so that's pretty, and again, a big chunk of stuff there. What are your thoughts so far? She's a great character, really great story arcs and stuff. And there's some really powerful moments throughout all these series.
I do love her. I'm gonna give the negative part of it. I love her. She is one of my faves. But I hope next time she dies, she stays dead. she's died like, you know, like we
almost
talked about
many times on, Vader,
on Morbius. Like she just needs to. I don't want her to die. Don't get me wrong, but I'm kind of all right. Let's. If she dies, let's let her die.
Well, if you look through the canon as it now, she's dead by the time they say she confronts Sidious. Maybe she
is
makes
she?
Him, no, that's what it says.
Is
her,
she?
Her spirit comes in. That's what it says. With all the other Jedi. So
I mean, but she's,
we never saw her die, though.
She's so old by that time.
Yeah, she's going to be.
Like, she's going to be 80, 90 something years old. Like, she's not going to be a frontline warrior anymore.
I agree with that. To get her a cane. Or
a stick.
I didn't say it. Garth did.
I don't think she'll be that old, but I think they're gonna do something where she makes a noble sacrifice. You know, that
yeah,
just seems like
I hope so. It's...
I think she's gonna have more of one of those tranquil moments where she, you know, goes one with the Force in her own volition.
Yeah, could be.
I think it's gonna be more of that, because I think for her to die in combat, it's gotta either be like a epic opponent or it's gotta be like
a moment.
It's gotta be something. Like, you can't just kill her off, because I mean, like, that was the problem that a lot of people had with like what happened in episode 8, right? You just come in through and this random attack all of a sudden leads to the death of like half of the characters we knew. Like, wait a minute. Like, I get you wanted to, you know, do a moment like that, but it's You just can't kill off important characters with like, and she took an arrow to the knee and died.
I wonder if they'll do something like how, you know, like in episode, I know, and I hate talking about these, but in episode 9, when like everybody's talking to Rey, like there's the voice of Aayla, you know, Aayla,
it's all and, of them.
You know, they're yeah. all, they're Anakin. All, she's all the Jedi, all this. If they'll do something where she somehow sacrifices herself to give all the Jedi like a voice.
Well, it's really
like that,
interesting.
Kind of.
Yeah,
fix that portion of
it's really interesting. Does she become a full Jedi again? We saw her with Luke in the little arc in the book of Boba Fett, right? After, you know, she's, you know, through Rebels, I never really thought of, I thought of her more as a gray Jedi, more like the Bendo. She's, you know, in her white lightsabers, because we're getting to that in a second here, reflect that nature. She is balanced. She's not, you know, she does her own thing. She's not, she doesn't even consider herself, she doesn't really say she's a Jedi. Now, it's implied with her, with Luke, but I mean, Luke probably looks at her just as a, it's really interesting to where what she turns out to be, because, you know, she left the Jedi Order. You know, she's never gone around saying she is a Jedi. You know, some considered her to be, but what does Ahsoka really consider herself to be? You know, I think she's in a really cool spot where she can be whatever she wants to be. And that's the cool thing about her character now. Any thoughts there, Ren? You're still looking all misty-eyed and shit. Well, you were throwing up because of the sequel mentioned, but I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, that. Anyways, no, Ahsoka's like one of my all-time favorites, and I'm actually not that much of an idiot on this topic. Like, I mean, like Carl said, I've seen pretty much every medium that she's been in.
Yeah.
Even read one, I think, more of the books.
I've read the most recent book where it discussed how she got her lightsabers and stuff, but they show that in Tales of the Jedi, right?
Right.
I don't know if that was the actual same scene as the book where she defeats the person and takes her, and then. So let's get into the new canon that crystals reflect the nature of the person that's used. So it's not based off like it used to be, like red was just a synthetic crystal that would show even more red based on your dark side nature, or blue or green was, you know, just what it was, right? It was just the color the crystal came out with. Now it's based off the person itself, the what their kind of way they feel in the force through the crystal.
Yeah.
Well, so the crystal, the crystal coloration. Oh, I love it, because if you guys remember KOTOR, that's how it was. I mean, yeah, you could choose your own crystal, but it was like, okay, you want to be a counselor? That's green. You want to be a Jedi? That's blue. This is like the role that you're gonna be partaking in.
They assigned crystal colors more to personalities and behavioral traits, and less to blue is the signal of, you know, people. I don't know, whatever. I'm okay with it, but then they have a lot of issues and then to kind of write back, right? Because what happens if somebody else uses your lightsaber? Does it just magically change colors on the user or who built it? Or where's the standard lie at that point?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably when you're building your lightsaber. I would imagine it's when you're building your lightsaber, you're crafting it, and then you take that crystal and
you're channeling the force.
You tune it.
You channel
force into that crystal, but you can use anybody else's lightsaber and it's still going to work for you because you still know how to use a lightsaber, but didn't tune that crystal.
Well, in the book, she attunes to the crystals and changes the color from red to white. That's how she gets the white saber. So
she purifies them.
Yeah. So I just thought that was an interesting change, little dynamic, and make it official canon on color.
Well, I think it's a good way to go for Star Wars, because it really helps. It'll really help them. We've all seen the trailer for the new Ahsoka series, right? And they have these lightsaber wielders with very different colored lightsabers than what we would expect from bad guys to be wielding. And that's good for it, though, because it gives you a lot more flexibility in organizations, because you can have force users that aren't Jedi or Sith that are a part of whatever faction they want to be a part of. And I think it gives it a lot more flexibility to be like, hey, it's more of how you build it and less about how you find it. So, anyways.
Indeed. So let's talk about some of her abilities. I mainly want to cover two things about her abilities. She has a lot of stuff she can do, but another quote from Anakin. I admit Ahsoka's a little rough around the edges, but with a great deal of training and patience, she might amount to something. Now, Ahsoka Tano made use of an unorthodox reverse grip during combat, but at the insistence of her master, eventually began to utilize the standard grip in addition to her reverse grip. That's why you see her with one reverse and one and the normal grip. She was a particularly acrobatic lightsaber duelist who often utilized the force to jump on her opponents and to dodge lightsaber strikes. Although she was physically smaller than many of her foes, she proved to be a skilled duelist, wielding one and eventually two lightsabers. She was definitely a dual wielder, and she was definitely, we've talked about the different forms of lightsaber combat. She's definitely a master. She was a master form three because she learned from Anakin. From Kenobi, and took on
Riso and Juyo, right?
Yeah, she took on those, but she also took on she took on the acrobatic nature of what she could do, and also the dual wielding, which made her quite potent. As
a like form
ability.
Six, though, that's Jeskai.
I think so. Yeah, the acrobatic one. Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't keep it memorized. So yeah.
I thought the acrobatic one was Ataru.
It's the one that I say is form eight. That's not. And I'm like, okay, whatever you want. Yeah, well, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, the one that's the dual wielder on top of the acrobatic.
We did a whole lore series on this.
It's Jakar.
What you do want?
Jakai or whatever.
Jakai, yeah.
Jakar, yeah. It's the same one that Starkiller has. It's dual wielding with higher acrobatics. It's just it's a form that is much more. It takes other forms to create it. The only specific thing unique to it is the fact that she's using two sabers.
Yeah,
I think that was the made it up eighth one.
All right. The other thing I want to talk about real quick, and then we can get back into the discussion is that her one, she had a lot of the same force powers that we've talked about in the force power episode that we did, but her main thing that she was really, really powerful in was her ability to sense objects and things in the force. People didn't matter. She had a very high attunement to sensing other people's feelings and sensing danger, sensing emotions, sensing everything around her. She was very attuned to that. That gave her a huge advantage in a lot of the stuff that she did, because she could sense people's intentions and all this other stuff. It's just one of the things that made her such a great fulcrum and gathering information and stuff, because she knew when people were BSing her and stuff like that. So she was highly attuned to people's, not thoughts. She wasn't a telepath, but she could sense whether you're lying, whether you had murderous intent. You know, she could sense things all around her through objects and people and creatures and things of that nature. And that gave her a really strong advantage. You know, she's fighting someone and she can sense that they're really tired, she could take advantage of that. Or if they were too aggressive, that's one of the things that she learned to own. So on top of her fighting style, that gave her a big advantage in her fights. Again, even though she was smaller, I would say she was smaller when she was a Padawan, but as she became a full, grew into womanhood as a full Togruta, that became more of an advantage for her, because she had all these skills that she used when she was smaller to overcome opponents, but now it gave her a huge advantage. We saw that with the Inquisitors. If you saw in that episode of Rebels, where she was just playing with them. I mean, she straight up was playing with them. And you can see, before that, in season 7 of the Clone Wars, how much she had advanced the way she was holding her own against Maul. You know, and Maul's no slouch when it comes to lightsaber forms. She was, you know, being cheeky with him during the whole time. Like, you should be glad Anakin Skywalker's not here. You would be in big trouble, you know. So, but yeah, any thoughts on that from you guys, the lore idiots here, anything? Okay. No comments? All right. Well, the last thing I'm going to mention is just her evolution from her character, where she starts some of the media and stuff. We've mentioned it before, but just real quick. I do want to quote Ashley Eckstein here. She says, I've always, and she says, I've always known that Ahsoka is bigger than just me. I think my hope for anyone that joins Team Tano moving forward is that they realize how much Ahsoka means to people, and that she's more than just a character. She's more than just roles. She's more than just another story. Ahsoka is changing lives. I hope that whoever joins the team recognizes that and continues to breathe life into her in a way that carries on her legacy. Now, Ahsoka Tano was originally voiced by, of course, Ashley Eckstein in both the Star Wars, the Clone Wars television series and the film, as well as following that up with Star Wars Rebels television show. And she later authored the young reader books, Star Wars, I Am a Padawan, and narrated the audiobook of the novel Ahsoka that we mentioned before. Now, we all know Rosario Dawson is portraying Tano, as she's done from the first one, Chapter 13, and Mando with the Jedi and moving forward. And with the mention of Caitlin Dichelle serving as the stunt double. And this is the first live action appearance of the character, and she will continue to play her. And we've seen in the trailer and Ahsoka, the television series. So she's been in multiple seasons. She's been in the Clone Wars movie. She was in Clone Wars. She was in Rebels. And now she's getting her own live action. So again, that shows the arc of there. And Ashley Eckstein gets a huge props for her growth of the character as the voice actress. And then Rosario Dawson and Caitlin as two that are doing all the live action stuff. And I think they've all done a phenomenal job. And then we'll leave it for final thoughts on our girl, Ahsoka Tano. Again, I didn't get into any of the specific details. I mean, if you want to go see the specific details, just go watch all the stuff. It's really good watching, you know, especially like for the tail end of the Clone Wars, season 7 of the Clone Wars with Ahsoka. It's all Ahsoka-centric. And then when you get to end of season 1 into season 2 and 3 with Ahsoka, with Rebels, you get her as the fulcrum with Vader and everything. It's phenomenal. And then now we got her in live action, man. I'm super excited. And I think Rosario Dawson's killing it as live action.
Want more of the live action. Like I hate like the one episode arcs. Like I think the Magistrate is one of my favorite episodes of The Mandalorian for her specifically.
That opening scene because is fire.
She does more than just stand around.
No, she's
and that's kind of like what I felt was bad about you get introduced to these new characters that don't do anything. It's like why like when you see Boba at the like when he comes through and starts wrecking the stormtroopers left, right, and center. It's so badass to get introduced characters in that fashion versus like, hi, I'm here. It's like, no, I want to see you do what you did in the show. Come on, let's go. No, I love her. She's a very good character. And I kind of wish Star Wars did a better job of writing characters more like, not necessarily like her, but just writing characters that they want to be like, big impactful characters, writing them as well as they have at this point with her, where she's really endeared by the fans. Because I think there's a lot of the struggles that we have with the medium we get currently is it's so short focused that we don't get a chance to enjoy the character before we get a forced conclusion to whatever they are. And I think the longer you get exposure to it, it's much better. But yeah, I'm excited to see her own show. I'm excited for the villain in that show. I'm excited to see what her interaction is with the show. I think she's a really well done character at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, Ram.
Oh, she is top notch, top quality character.
yeah, it is.
it's just watching her grow from. You know, the Clone Wars and seeing her evolution to becoming literally a fan favorite in Rebels, and then Clone Wars season 7 expanding on her even more, and then seeing her in live action. I love Rosario Dawson. I think she's awesome. I'm so pumped for Ahsoka. It's long overdue to see this character get this kind of light.
Limelight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. BK?
Kind of going off what Karth said, I think one of the problems Star Wars has. So I remember it was just a one-off episode back in the Clone Wars where she lost her lightsabers. And she had to train with the old guy, like in one of the masters. I forgot his name, and I'm not even gonna go him carrying a stick or anything like that. But he's older, and like they're doing this investigation, and he's, you know, he's just walking slowly and she's running and bombarded and asking everybody and all this stuff. And it finally, like, she learns patience. She learns, like, you don't need to run around and stuff like that. They can't do that with today's stuff.
They can. It's a choice, because, like, if you look at Andor, Andor is all about character development. You know what I'm saying? So
it is. But look, you and I mean, you're a little more patient than I am. But we'll bitch about Bad Batch like it's a filler episode, and we'll, like, you know, like, hey, yeah, there was some character development, but it wasn't that great of an episode or something, you know, type of thing.
Well, this
and
is
then,
the
we just don't have the patience nowadays.
Well, I did make those, and when we were doing the Bad Batch reviews, I would make those points. And I even said at the finale, like, those character moments now matter more for what happened in Bad Batch.
And yeah, exactly. That's the issue with the current stuff, is Disney's doing something that is detrimental to their own marketing, because they want to get people on Disney Plus longer, so they draw out the series. Instead of getting everything at once, which we kind of got used to as streaming services for a few years, was getting everything at once, take them the whole thing at one time and go. So it makes those filler episodes seem way less important at the time, because you're like, okay, well, this means nothing to me. And then later on, you come back and I keep pressing buttons over here. You see the importance of it. You see that interaction, that moment, this detour helps establish this train of thought or this course of actions and da 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 da. And that's a downside with kind of what we get now, is that they're doing that. But I feel like the downside for things like Bad Batch and Mandalorian and everything that they're kind of working on now, is that these series are the jumping off points for just another line of things to happen. And so you get a lot of storytelling that gets crippled because you have to include information into something else that just kind of doesn't move the ball in the right direction or focus enough on those characters. So I'm kind of hoping when we get to the Ahsoka series itself, is that we spend a lot more time on the Imperial Remnant and Ahsoka Phoenix Squad. Like that's where I want the focus to be. And that's where I'm kind of glad we're getting through the Mando stuff, and it's kind of getting the groundwork laid for all of this, because I just don't want to spend half of a Ahsoka series following up with Luke and Mando and Boba and every other character and the skeleton crew, whatever that's going on. I really kind of wish that they would spend a little bit more time on the characters, give them a lot more room to develop in a season or two, and then let's start tying things together before it's like, hey, one episode with Ahsoka, one episode with character you don't care about, ready, go.
Yeah, I don't think we want that anymore. But yeah, she's in Ahsoka, she's a powerful female character, and I love it for young girls out there to have a role model like Ahsoka to look up to. Good and bad. I mean, Ahsoka has flaws, and it's a good lesson to learn through Ahsoka's trials and tribulations of the things that she goes through, and to see her mature as a Padawan to this, you know, this gray Jedi woman that is someone you don't want to face. You know, I mean, very kind and compassionate. She makes mistakes along the way, and she learns from those mistakes, and it helps her grow. It helps her become a more well-rounded person. And I think that's a really good role model for especially young women. And it's really cool to see how young women Star Wars fans have those kind of characters to kind of grasp onto. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's so popular. It's because she's so real. You know, she's one of those characters that you can really relate to with her entire journey. We've had her for 15 years of Ahsoka. You know, that's a long time to spend with the character. And we grew up with her. You know, no matter what your age was, you saw her from her beginnings, and now even with the Tales of the Jedi, you know, with her origin story of how they got her, to now you see her whole arc pretty much in front of you. What we just need is the last part of it, so we can have this whole complete story of what Ahsoka is. And I think she's a fantastic character. I'm with you guys. I really love her. I thought this was a character to start us off with and we're going to do a lot more of these now that we've got some of the bigger things out of the way. We'll still do some big, you know, that there's some big faction stuff I want to cover eventually, but we're going to start doing some more character driven stuff on the lore series now, because we're at that point. I had a plan for the lore series, get the big stuff out of the way, talk about the Force, talk about lightsabers, talk about this, But if somebody listens to this, maybe they're not a big Star Wars fan, they can listen through and learn as they go. And now that we're getting to the characters, when we say something, they're like, oh yeah, that was mentioned before in this episode, and I know what they're talking about. So there you go. All right, with that, I think we're good. So as I said, leave comments, subscribe, all that stuff on YouTube. If you like what we're doing, again, support us on Patreon. It helps us to expand what we're doing with the lore series. Leave comments on the podcast if you want to. Download it there on Amazon and Podbean. It'll be in the description of the video. Big shout out to, they can't hear because I'll have to go back and cut it in, but our good friend Desi did a bunch of new intros for us, which I will now be adding to all the lore series, and she did a lot of funny ones for us as well. So that big shout out to Desi for that. I think we're good. Let's go enjoy the rest of our day, gentlemen. This will be out tomorrow. It's Sunday we record these, and then Monday, if you're VIP, you get it first thing. And then on every Friday of the same week, we will put it out to the general public. So you get it first as a VIP, and we encourage the VIPs to listen to this and give comments and things of that nature. So with that, everyone have a great rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll check you out next time. Peace out.